Astrology for Artists, the Art of Living, your 2015 mid-year report, though I think this is one that will be a resource for a little more than a few weeks. Let's begin with some thoughts about Libra, one of my favorite signs of the zodiac, if only because so many creative titans are born under your sign. And one of the, well, it's not really possible to explain this, but we can kind of experiment and say, well, Libra has all these really interesting things about it. Like, it's ruled by Venus, which is the star of the show, of Venus retrograde, but it's also got Saturn exalted in your sign. So two distinctly different planets, very different, are both associated with Libra, and they kind of join together through Libra. And one of the most challenging factors in astrology, Saturn, is something that is closely harmonized with you. And one of the most coveted, desired factors in astrology, Venus, is often squandered by others, but is necessarily something that must be your personal property in a way. You must take full ownership of Venus, and then you get this ability to work with Saturn. And I think that that combination of the ability to bring Saturnian discipline together with a truly outstanding aesthetic sense is what makes Libra such a dependably creative zone of the zodiac. Now, I'm speaking to those with the sun in Libra, with Libra rising, moon in Libra, and any strong concentration of planets in Libra, which can have a very similar effect. So that's going to influence a good few people born, for example, in the 1970s, many of whom have Uranus and Pluto moving through Libra, and therefore have the ability to manifest a kind of, obsessively innovative, creative talent, a gift, maybe you might say. I've argued earlier in this program that talent is something that is really a combination of a little potential and a lot of discipline, and let's define it that way for our purposes. All right, so Libra, when I think of Libra, really the first thing I think of is the quality of aesthetics, the quality of recognizing that which is both beautiful and the quality that we call quality. What makes something worth it? What makes something, good? You might think of that as the study of aesthetics. And Libra has an inherent gift of beauty, of presentation, of balance, of a need to make beauty, basically. And as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the most dependable things that you can bring into this whole, discussion of self-creation, self-creativity, is your natural orientation on that which is beautiful. And you may not think of this as being such an important thing. On this earth, I think of the orientation on beauty as being one of the most important things, and I do not even vaguely imagine that it is something that is superficial. I think that beauty is one of the ways that we recognize ourselves, one of the ways that we recognize value, that we recognize that which is desirable, and that which is beautiful is likely to also have other inherent qualities in it, and this is something that is your whole purview, your whole domain of existence. Now, this gets stressed out quite heavily in our world, and that which is actually good is often left behind and substituted for by that which is trendy or that which is catchy or that which is shinier but not necessarily better in any way. And then there is a way that beauty is also numbed out by technology and that beauty is numbed out by an over-obsession with responsibility, an over-obsession with necessity. And there are ways that this can show up in your chart, but they are all easily subverted. This is the beauty of the way that your chart is oriented, and they are especially easily subverted now. So, for example, a quality of emotional caution that comes with Libra and with an honoring the ways of the past as a kind of a subconscious approach to existence is now coming under some real challenge. It's coming under the challenge of Pluto moving through your fourth house. Pluto moving through your fourth house is describing a scenario where security for its own sake is well recognized as being useless and very much an illusion, but also where it is just not something that you want anymore. And the benefits of not living in a way that is oriented on security, which is something we're taught to do and something that you probably found that you were very able to do in kind of a natural response to your environment, other things give greater rewards. So just on a rewards basis, what is giving you the experiences of life that come with some sense of emotional satisfaction, you're probably figuring out and have been for some years that it's not only the things that make you feel safe. It's not merely the honoring of tradition. The more you plunge in and embrace change, well then, you get to have some real experiences, and those mean unique experiences. And thanks to another factor, Uranus, moving through your opposite sign, there is the quality of dancing with the unexpected, dancing with experimenting with that which is inherently unpredictable. And this has been going on for long enough as well to at least make sure that you understand you're in an environment where things are unpredictable and where you need to be responsive immediately rather than responsive based on some pre-made plan. If you could look at your chart oriented with Aries on your opposite house, your opposite energy, and Capricorn as your fourth house, your grounding energy, it might be reasonable to take change as something that's slow or that you can actually actively resist. But once you put this extraordinarily powerful Uranus-Pluto square into those houses, there is just no point in resisting change, and there is every point in embracing that which is unexpected and unpredictable, and no point in saying, oh, well, security is all there is. I must do things like they were done in the past. It's probably become plainly obvious to you that you need to reinvent yourself and your experience in every moment and live actually in the present, which is the only time real creativity can enter your consciousness with its many different types of healing powers and healing vectors. Okay, so you know, change being a constant and a thing that you are well adapted to by this point, and more than change, knowing that the ways of the past are not the thing that guarantees happiness. Nothing guarantees happiness, but especially leaning on, piling on the way things were done before is just, you might as well forget it. Just to give one example of where your astrology is suggesting that you are at now and that you are more than free to catch up with. Now, we started with the concept of aesthetics, and that is something that I believe is inherent in the Libra archetype, way beyond the personality description of Libra and the, you know, any type of soul description of Libra. I think that the Libra archetype is one of the things that has the inherent role of helping us perceive and value and create beauty, and that is well worth embracing as a personal value, i.e. you are the work in progress. You are what is being refined and made beautiful. And you might think, well, some might say, that's just, you know, beauty is skin deep. You can't really, you know, tell. And I would say, yeah, beauty might be skin deep, except that, you know, something else is definitely true for you, that beauty is not coming from the skin level, whatever that might be. Beauty is coming from a much deeper place. So skin deep beauty might be skin deep, but your type of beauty is the type that comes from the very core, the very soul essence of who you are. Now, if we look momentarily at the fifth house, a house I think is vitally important to understanding any self-creative, self-healing experience, and especially if taking a risk is necessitated, you have Aquarius on that house. And this is a very interesting sign to have associated with the fifth house, because Aquarius has a way of being detached from things. And I would say that the thing that you want to do is, rather than detach, you want to soak yourself in that which you are experiencing. And if Aquarius represents ideas, which it does in a very distinct way, and the invention process, that you let yourself go all the way down that road and take that journey of, what I will call the beauty of ideas. So there's beauty that is a kind of a sensory and visceral beauty. And then there is the beauty of elegant thought forms. And those elegant thought forms can have a way of expressing themselves that becomes something that is palpable to the senses, that is real to the eyes and the ears and feeling senses. And rather than taking the abstract intellectual route of Aquarius, I suggest you merge the Libra Saturn and Aquarius Saturn, because Saturn is the ruler of Aquarius and it's also exalted in Libra, and take that and kind of fuse them together into the beauty of thought, the beauty of concepts, and then let your desire to express beauty flow from the concept level as well as from the aesthetic level. I would say that this is daring. This is pretty high-level thinking, but I would also say that the child that you were and that you still contain is someone who clearly recognized the beauty of thought. I mean, I'll give you an example. I can give you two examples. One is that it is probably very easy for you to recognize the beauty of good writing. Not just good writing, not just saying, oh, what a wonderful idea, but rather to dive into the beauty, for example, of a literary experiment of some kind and see how well an author or yourself handles that experiment. Another might be the elegance of mathematics. I would imagine that even if you're not exactly a math geek and someone who, like, you know, sits around, you know, doing quadratic equations just for fun, like some people do crossword puzzles, that you at least recognize the beauty and the elegance of mathematics. And I would suggest recognizing that part of who you are, that quality that you have that recognizes the elegance of the intellect, and fully embodying that quality. Experiment with that, soak yourself in it, and give yourself as many venues as you can to play with the elegance of ideas. Now, you know, you don't necessarily need to, dive into math, but it certainly would not hurt anything to at least refresh your memory on some mathematics, and especially I would say that's true if either you had a special resistance to mathematics as a child or a special love for mathematics as a child. Look around, experiment, find some books or some movies, or possibly other media that allow you to feel the beauty of conceptual science, whether it be quantum physics, whether it be calculus, whether it be whatever. Your aesthetic sense has beneath it what you might think of as the morphogenetic field of the beauty of logic, the beauty of the engineering that makes the architecture stand up. you're just made of this. So far from beauty being skin deep, you possess the ability to connect with beauty that emerges from the far deepest cellular level, the morphogenetic field level, what you might think of as, like, some would say this is the sixth dimensional phenomenon, this kind of lattice work that visible reality is kind of hung on, like scenery hung on a framework. That framework is a sixth dimensional framework, and you are able to access that level and to work beauty from the inside out. This is very cool, and you are very blessed to have this ability to work with. Let's consider for a second where Venus is going to be retrograde. For you, that is in the 11th house. So following the metaphors here, the planet associated with your sign being Libra, that planet being Venus, is doing this long, long visit to Leo. And Leo is your 11th house. The 11th house is the most public face that we present. It is the way that we present ourselves to our community. So who you hang out with, the way you dress when you hang out with them, the things that you say to them when you go, the reason you like to be with people, all of that is an 11th house factor. And you have Leo naturally on this house, being the 11th place from Libra. And now your ruling planet, Venus, is making this long, long, like 4 or 5 month visit to Leo. And it's going to be there soon. Today, it's in Virgo, as I record on Saturday the 25th, just a few hours after Venus's station retrograde. And it is describing a scenario where you are engaged with the world in some visible way. Now, the beauty of the retrograde is saying you have a need, a responsibility, a desire, a pleasure in being different. So this is one of your occasions to cast aside all, for example, pride or recalcitrance of any kind toward being different, odd, unusual, and absolutely go your own way. Think your own way. Be the person that you want to be, and be advised this might well mean swimming against the current of your society, of your friends, of your social networks, and engage yourself in the public eye. What's interesting about Venus retrograde in this position is that it is describing presenting what you have done as much as it is experimenting with what you have done. And so it is likely that previous work that you have created or thought of will find either a home or an experimental process in being put out into wider existence and shared with people. So there is something here about the true juicy part of your creative process being the process of sharing. Now, I really don't know, you know, what you've done, what you've been collecting in the attic or in some form of an art studio, or you know, what you've been doing after hours in the office and just stashing aside. But I would say consider what you have created previously and imagine what it would be like to bring that out. Now, there's a lot of ways to do this. I mean, one way is you just start framing things, and you figure out a way to pay for it, or you just, you know, bang up a credit card, or find somebody who can help you do it. Do it yourself, and put out the work that you have done. Hang it up on your walls where people can see it, or in a cafe where people can see it, and get the experience of sharing. One of the things I find the strangest about many creative people is the extent to which they are willing to keep their brilliant work secret. Now, I understand not wanting to dilute the energy and not wanting to, you know, get distracted by other people's opinions and water things down and all that. But after a certain point of creating 5 or 10 or 20 or hundreds of pieces, that it is kind of getting on time to share them with people. Now, if you haven't done that, there is a plenty of ways to go. One of which is to take a survey of the culture as a means of inspiration. So that can mean, for example, the image of Venus retrograde in Leo for you is the image of doing lots of gallery tours, going to museums, visiting the studios of other artists, looking at every piece of anything that is made with the vaguest, least intention of aesthetics, from television commercials to sculptures in the lobby of the government buildings, to study and take a wide survey of the aesthetics in the community, and then take that back, take those ideas back, and experiment with them. All in all, the overarching message of the astrology you've got going on now is some enhanced interplay with the community. Now, having Aquarius on the fifth house, that is, you could say, inherent in your DNA, that for you, art really is a matter of what you share, experiment, and experience with your community. And now with Venus retrograde in the 11th house, a house somewhat similar to Aquarius, that is, you're being fully called forth to do that. Now, I would add that Venus is not the only thing that's going to be in Leo during this trip. You've got a lot of company during this trip, and there is the potential for all kinds of collaboration. One of the themes of 2015 is a series of three Venus-Mars conjunctions, one of which took place in January, I think on the 1st or the 2nd, another of which just took place, and then one didn't take place. That's Venus-Jupiter. Venus-Mars, there'll be one, I believe, in... let me get the exact dates on these, because there's a lot of Venus conjunctions going on. So while I'm opening up a Sprite window, and I can first look up Venus-Mars conjunctions, I want to say that the many conjunctions that Venus is making are describing... let's just say collaborative encounters. Again, an emphasis on other people, not your typical artistic thing, but sometimes collaboration is the essential piece of creativity. I would just suggest that you consider that as a possibility without necessarily needing to, dive headlong into it. Okay, there is a Venus-Mars conjunction at the very beginning of the year, January 1 or 2. Now there's going to be another one on September 1st. That one is going to take place in mid-Leo. And this, by the way, is strongly suggesting that you remain in public, whether you're showing or whether you're visiting or just traveling around or just seeing what is going on in the culture in terms of what people are doing and calling art right now, whether that be your home or whether you go to a nearby city and see what exhibitions are hanging, because they count, even a retrospective exhibition of a dead artist counts as something that is being brought into public now. And you have some meetings there, some important encounters, especially around the first week of September, but I'm also seeing an unusually potent day on September 1st, 2015. There is just some window into reality that seems to open, and some beautiful stuff could come through that opening. Okay, the third of the Venus-Mars conjunctions is 2 months after that, on November 2nd, 2015, and this one happens in late Virgo. And so this, by the way, describes a story of a continuing, ongoing relationship that may be on again, off again, or changing purposes, or transitioning, or maybe difficult at some points and easier at other points, but the meetings are always relevant, and I suggest you not judge them so much as you vow to just experience them for what they are and get the feeling of of what this exchange is without projecting it into the future, especially now, and then taking the journey and seeing where this leaves you much later in the year. Very unusual pattern to have these three Venus-Mars conjunctions in one year, and that is what is happening. Okay, now there's another series of conjunctions that is equally interesting, and these are the Venus-Jupiter series of conjunctions. There was one recently that was in Leo. We all saw that happen because it was plainly visible every night right around sunset with a few, you know, like maybe an hour after the sunset that Venus and Jupiter were plainly visible in the night sky. They remain in a conjunction, though, very close to the sun. And the second conjunction in Leo is going to be on August 4th of this year. And here again is another invitation not only to be public and to remain visible and to meet other creative people outside the house as much as you can, but also to take the world itself as a kind of found art object. The whole thing, anything. That which you love, that which you hate, that which you despise, that which turns you on, that which you are curious about. All of it is a kind of a found art object. And this is going to, you know, spawn certain mental and creative processes in your mind. But I think that more than anything, the process of mingling your energy with that of the community is going to be about a kind of determined and beautiful way to set yourself free, to be yourself. It is, if any one ingredient is the bottom line, most necessary ingredient for artistic process and self-creative healing process, it is the ongoing granting of permission to set yourself free, to be yourself. And the Venus retrograde in your 11th house in Leo is suggesting that you want to experiment boldly by putting yourself in all kinds of different situations and showing yourself and showing your work and being out to your friends in all kinds of different situations. And the main point of the experience is just to relax and be yourself, no matter how strange or weird or perfect or easy or difficult it seems. Relax and just be yourself. And at the end of any encounter or experience or endeavor, say to yourself, I did my best at being myself. That experiment was an experience of being me, and I did it. So peel back that Leonine or Libran facade, two signs that are famous for their exterior presentation and the concern at what others might think. This is two things that both Libra and Leo have in common. And let go of that, or experiment with letting go of that, as an exercise in just simply being bold. And see how that changes you and how it changes your, mainly your relationship to your self-creative process. Beautiful thing. Beautiful setup. Okay, in terms of Libra as well, now where are we going here? Okay, so we began with the concept of the beauty of concept, the idea that one of the aesthetic qualities of Libra is informed by an intellectual level, and even deeper than that, informed by the archetype of elegant concept translating into aesthetic beauty. And this shows up a second way in your chart by having Virgo in the 12th house. This implies very strongly that right beneath the surface, you are an idea person. That right below the surface, you are someone who is all about things making sense, not just looking good. They have to look good. I mean, you have that kind of Italian gene where, you know, you're not going to go out of the house, not at least being, you know, tidy and presentable. But beneath that, right beneath that, is a passion verging on an obsession with intellectual elegance. And one of the things that's happening right now as we speak is that, first of all, Venus is sitting in the first degree of Virgo, your 12th house. Jupiter is heading for Virgo, your 12th house, for a one-year visit. Mars is heading to your 12th house for a one-year visit. The Sun will be there for a month coming up fairly soon. And Mercury is about to be there as well. And so the passion with which the ideal level is drawing on your sense of existence is impossible to overstate. And so, you know, you may find that your art goes beyond aesthetics into, for example, a passionate devotion to problem solving, a passion devotion to creating concepts and solutions, and what in truth to me looks like an inventive aspect of your nature. Now, one thing about this inventive aspect is that it is likely to kind of come through encounters and collisions with other people. And there's a lot that I have to say about this. Unfortunately, I've got a few more volumes of Libra astrology to cover in the next few months, one of them being your birthday reading, the other being the annual reading. But let me say here right now that the way in which you handle others is critical right now, because others are likely to come at you with any number of possible approaches, including arrogance, including kind of crazy-making quality, including being a bit brilliant but a bit crazy, and you're wondering, like, wow, you know, this person's brilliant. I wish they weren't such a whack job. And how you dance with that intense Uranian energy, which is coming under a new focus. We've been through 3 years of the Uranus-Pluto square. Now you're going to have the Uranus-Eris conjunction in your seventh house. This is not going to be a normal time for relationships or for collaboration, but if you are able to hang loose and dance with the energy, it will be a stunningly, lavishly rich time for these collaborations. And you'll be able to harness some of this high voltage power coming through other people, even if you despise them or disagree with them or are fed up with them, or you fucking love them because they're so interesting and beautiful. Whatever wherever they fall on that rather wide spectrum, you can gain some way to shape your ideas or to inform you of something that you need to know. I mean, one example I have is someone sent me an article by this guy who I just absolutely don't trust as a journalist, and I know he's full of it and working for the Church of Scientology and all this stuff. So I can't say his name because I can't prove any of that, but that's my take on things from years of observation. There's just something weird about him. But this article had something in it for me in that it was presenting good ideas in a half-baked way and some good ideas in a partially baked way, but it totally missed the point. And I was able to write a whole article which basically said, okay, this article is good as far as it goes. Now here's another idea for how to think about this. And so even the things that you don't like or you don't agree with or that are just annoying, things that are whatever, you know, not your flavor, can provide the impetus, the creative inspiration, and moreover, the motivation to do something that is original, that is alive, that is fresh, that is liberating, and that is fun. And with that Uranus-Eris conjunction in your seventh house, you may find you are increasingly in the presence of truly innovative, brilliant people. And even if you have to just, you know, give them some space to be themselves, which you have to do with anybody who's got a real personality anyway, you will learn a lot and have the possibility of many fabulous collaborations with other people. All of that said, remember that it is necessary to have solitude as someone in a self-created process. It is necessary to come out of the abstract and make sure that you have your hands in clay or wood or paint or something where you are you depart the abstract realm and you work in the directly visceral sensory world where you just squish your toes in the mud or bang on a drum or you know, make a vow to, you know, cover your entire kitchen table with paint. You want to give yourself some relief from the world of ideas and also from the world of collaboration, which is very strong in your chart right now. But there is that essential piece of the creative and self-creative process that is all about what you only exchange and experience within yourself as your own inner alchemy. And I would suggest letting everything else, this wonderful state of potential and of astonishing creative stimulation coming from your environment, all of which is a kind of living art project, to point you to that inner self-creative place that only you know where that is and how that feels and what you do there. And much will come from that profound inner experience and inner journey. All right, what fun. I will catch you over at a different sign. Remember, check out your rising sign and or your sun sign and or your moon and any concentration of planets in your chart. Consider that sign and perhaps just pick a random sign that is not your own and that you think you have nothing to do with. And listen if that does not have some potential message for you and kind of fit where you are coming from or need to be spoken to. All right. Thanks for listening. Signing off at 5:01 p.m. on Saturday, 25th, with Mercury retrograde. Excuse me. Venus retrograde in Mercury's sign Virgo. Bye for now.